I am right now looking at the Stitcher app. I don't know if you guys are aware, probably are, of the Stitcher podcast app that's available on Google Play and iTunes. Has some really fascinating podcasts. Passenger List, Mob Queens, Bill Nye, then there's Dolly Parton's America, Spooky Stories. Well, you have that here, but still. Murder in Oregon. Sibling Revelry is another one with Kate Hudson. Yeah, it looks like a very, very good app. Very interesting. Secret Lives of Black Women. But it all the shows are ad-free when you join Stitcher Premium. Only $4.99 a month. Or $34.99 for the entire year. You get Conan O'Brien, Needs a Friend, Wolverine, The Lost Trail, The Fantasy Footballers. Plus, you get access to Stitcher Originals, bonus episodes, comedy albums. There's a lot on here, guys. So give it a try. Go to stitcher.com/premium and sign up today. $34.99 for the entire year. Plus, if you mention Transcend the Known, if you put that code in, you'll get 1 month for free to try it out. Plus, you know which show, Transcend the Known, is on it as well, so we know it has a lot of class. So give it a try. Again, mention Transcend the Known in the code area and get your first month for free. See you on Stitcher. Welcome to the Transcend the Known podcast, where transcendentalism, parapsychology, and physics meet for coffee, and the entrance fee is an inquiring mind. Hello, and welcome to Transcend the Known, where we dare to question the known world and ask the question, what if? It's good to have you here and near. On this episode, we'll be looking at the phenomena, or as I like to refer to it, the psychomena, short for psychological phenomena, of the Mandela effect. What if there really is no such thing? The concept of a Mandela effect originated with Nelson Mandela's release from jail in 1990. I watched the televised event from the comfort of my home, as reports started to flood the airwaves that an increasing number of people were highly bewildered. It appeared that a large number of people had either read or heard a news report that Nelson Mandela had died in jail sometime in the early 80s. Some, including the paranormal researcher that first coined the term the Mandela effect, have questioned whether there was instead a melding together or conflagration of unrelated events that this group of people so distinctly remember experiencing. Instead of the hypothesis that somehow there was a intermingling of two dimensions where people transversed over into another dimension where Nelson Mandela actually did die sometime in the early 80s to late 80s, that instead there's some sort of a psychological phenomena taking place. You see, Bantu Stephen Biko was beaten to death by South African state security forces in 1978 when he was just 30 years old. Along with many racially and politically progressive ideas was his coining of the term Black is Beautiful. You've probably heard of that one. This man, who was a contemporary of Nelson Mandela, held that whites or Caucasians, no matter how well-intentioned, could not truly understand or cross the great divide in comprehending or fathoming the African experience under apartheid. I don't think any of us now, and certainly not then, would disagree with him. There are several psychological researchers or parapsychologists who have analyzed this phenomena and stated that it may be that his death in 1978 is the one that so many are remembering. It does fit from a chronological perspective. Then, in April 1982, Nelson Mandela was moved from his Robben Island prison cell, where he had spent 18 years in hard labor at the limestone mines, to Palsmoor Prison, where conditions over his remaining 8 years in prison only slightly improved. All in all, Nelson Mandela spent 26 plus years in prison fighting a repressive, rights-depleting regime in order to exert his innate human right to exist and be accounted for. Given this, it is neither surprising nor strange that people heard the wrong report, either verbally or on written media, that when Mandela was not found in his cell, and this is just an example, this is just a hypothesis of a possible origin for that story, and he was not found on the island at all or in his cell, that somebody may have assumed that he had been killed as Biko had been killed. That's one hypothesis for the origin of this story. A quote from the paranormal researcher who is accredited with having started this concept of a time dimension switch called the Mandela effect, Fiona Broom. Her website states, and I quote, "For starters, I usually tell people to research everything they can related to the alternate memory they seem to recall. Maybe there's a logical answer to the mystery. Perhaps it started as a simple misunderstanding, some trollish mischief, or an April Fool's joke that someone thought was serious." She then, Fiona Broom, goes on to say that a few things really baffle me. They include others' reports with details that I omitted from public posts deliberately and matched my memories of the Mandela funeral 100%. Also, I never found other funerals from that era with details that I could have conflated. Yes, most critics insist I'm remembering Steve Biko's funeral, but that was in 1977 when I lived in Northern California. The funeral I recall was on the TV when I lived in Florida, so that places it between 1987 and early 1990. Also, the TV coverage continued for days, at least two and possibly three. She goes on to say, "But being somewhat skeptical by nature, I'm still not certain that my memory of the Mandela funeral is accurate. I'm open to other explanations. As a Mandela effect researcher, I try to keep an open mind. Also, in addition to trying to explain my memory of that funeral, I'm looking for an explanation for the thousands of other people who seem to share that quirky memory. Like me, they seem to recall several days of TV coverage, the outdoor speeches under a big tree, the emotional widow and her bodyguard, the odd assortment of folding chairs and so on, lots of details that usually, but not always, match my memories. That still seems very odd, and I'm still hoping for a simple, non-weird explanation." Note, in this explanation on her website, she states first, and I'm not saying this to criticize her, but I'm saying it to point out a small fallacy. She states first that she has omitted details and found that others match her description 100%. Then she goes on to say, because there's doubt, that so many of the details do not always match her memories, which means that there is a high possibility that there's some conflagration here. Mrs. Fiona posted this on the website Mandela Effect Archives in May of 2018. Many online reports state that those that believe they experienced this phenomena, or psychomena as I call it, dated from the 1980s onward, and before he was actually released. So therefore, the concept that this hypothetical phenomenon derives from a quantum parallel universe effect as this would require being transported to another dimension and in space and time itself. Let me explain what I mean by this. According to the most popular multiverse theory, which I don't ascribe to, by the way, everything we know exists in another dimension, slightly altered from the original, and there are several dimensions, and each one of them have a slight alteration, which, needless to say, begs the question, which is the original version? This is supposed to stem in small part from Schrödinger's equations. Again, I don't ascribe to this interpretation of it. My understanding of it, of Schrödinger's equations and the concept of a multiverse, is that it is less that everything exists contemporary with us right now in this moment in other dimensions with only slight variations, But instead, what is actually existing is that at every point there are multiple possibilities that exist. Those dimensions reflect possibilities from which another pathway is revealed. Think of kind of like a computer algorithm, like an if-then or a true-false statement in every point of your existence. In other words, as you have heard me mention in previous podcasts, every possible combination of elements must be available at any given time in order for an event, however large or small, to occur. Without those ingredients, the cake can't be made. This is considered a deterministic approach to physics, or the Copenhagen Agreement in physics. But that, for me, may be the best fit explanation for any concept of a multiverse. In other words, right now at this moment, as I'm moving my hand, every space around my hand has to have all the possible elements in order for me to move my hand. But that doesn't mean that those exist in reality. So let me go on with this. So Fiona Broome's belief that this misremembered event that understandably troubles her so much, that it is the result of dimensions crossing, would require not only that a group of people travel to the same dimension, where the same, let's call it incorrect, just for the sake of argument, where the same incorrect event took place. So think of it visually. One group of people travel to the same dimension where the same incorrect event took place, but that incorrect event took place at different times. In other words, a group of people, some of which went back to the 80s where the incorrect event took place, some went back later in the 80s where the incorrect event took place, and others, like herself, went back to roughly the late 80s, early 90s for the same wrong event. This in turn would require that the multiverse theory holds that the same event takes place on multiple levels, but at different times, which would be a contradiction to the multiverse theory itself. Because the multiverse theory holds, if I understand it correctly, that at the same time, a variety of different events take place, all with slight alterations. For example, right now, in this time, I may be speaking into a different microphone in a different room. So in other words, in this moment in time, on another dimension, I would be having this conversation in a slightly different painted room, or in another dimension, there would be a slightly different microphone, or in another dimension, you get the idea, I would be in a different chair. But I wouldn't necessarily be in a different time experiencing the same exact event. So it, in turn, contradicts the multiverse theory itself. For those who would, correctly mind you, point out that the people with this particular memory have slight variations in, let's say, the number of people who are attending the event, the chair placement or whatever, like I just mentioned. But that's normal for most first-hand visual accounts of any event, multidimensional or not. For example, there actually is a funeral taking place outside, but somebody is on the left and somebody else is on the right. They would have different accounts of the chairs, or different accounts of the people who were in attendance, or a different account of where the, you know, casket or whatever was placed in their line of sight. But that's not necessarily a multidimensional alteration. That's just spatial, and that's normal. That occurs everywhere. So the Mandela effect, as recorded, actually doesn't support a multiverse explanation. It actually contradicts it. So let me state it this way. What if it actually doesn't exist? What if it isn't correct in any way, shape, or form? What if normal events are being blown out of proportion to the point where people are starting to question their own memories? There's no need for that. None whatsoever. I postulate that the Mandela effect actually doesn't exist, as you can hear. So let's go on. The singer Tom Petty was hospitalized October 2nd, 2017. Reports stated that he died shortly after he arrived at the hospital, only to be reversed later. This is known as premature obituaries and has been associated with the Mandela effect, has nothing to do with it. Listed on the after podcast post, you will see where there are a variety of premature obituaries. None of them have anything to do with the Mandela effect. And there is included in that is the famous case where a horror movie director was arrested because authorities believed that the movie's gruesome scenes were way too realistic and they could not have been faked. The actors in the movie were told to remain undercover as a part of their contract for 1 year in order to heighten the promotion. If anyone had heard those, that would have been completely valid. As I scanned through the list of falsely reported obituaries, I was surprised to find Nelson Mandela's name. Apparently, there was a premature online report 6 months before his death, not related to a Nelson Mandela effect of his having been reportedly killed in the 80s. Nothing to do with it, but it is rather funny that before his death, there actually was a premature obituary. Ironic, to say the least. How easy is it really, and this happens all too frequently, to hear the initial report of a death and never hear the follow-up retraction until possibly years later when you hear another report of the same person's death, and you question it and say, wait a second, I know for a fact that I heard that that person already died. That's not a Mandela effect. Unlike Fiona Broom, for most of us, there is no alternative memory associated with it. The internet, no matter how amazing it is, with its ever-increasing ubiquity and universality, didn't begin that way. People manually entered or scanned previously printed or produced information. If I happened to purchase a Kit Kat candy bar in the United States that was sold or had been produced in a European marketplace, the dash was on the packaging. That doesn't mean that I or anyone near me necessarily transported to an alternate universe. Also, the likelihood of my ever finding a label from 3 or 4 decades ago is slim to non-existent, except for one case, but we'll mention that later. There are numerous recollections being hurled into the Mandela effect bin with very little critical analysis, mostly followed up with comments such as, the universe was turned upside down, or unsure of the entirety of my existence. This is slightly extremist, but quite funny. Why would the recollection of a Kit Kat bar make you unsure of your entire existence? Humphrey Bogart's famous line, play it again, Sam, is another one. Except it isn't. More people have heard that sentence than actually saw the movie, I would suspect. Hence, it isn't a misremembrance of a witnessed event, but an accurate remembrance of a false statement. The correct statement is, play it, Sam. Someone, somewhere, in order to maintain context of playing a song that had been played once during an emotionally important event within the context of a movie, just rephrased the line innocently. That's it. That's all there is to that. Oh, and by the way, there's a play and a movie. Woody Allen commemorated it with a 1969 play and a 1972 movie titled, yeah, you guessed it, Play It Again, Sam. So, in fact, if you ever heard any reference to the line, play it again, Sam, it's very valid and has no connection to a Mandela effect. Saying this, though, I do vividly and most importantly, accurately remember the valid hubbub surrounding the movie and people reciting that line repeatedly. But again, I personally have no recollection either for or against of hearing that line in the original movie Casablanca per se. I just remember hearing that line repeatedly. Here we're going to take a quick break. Hey, are you looking for that perfect website? A website host that offers everything from custom designed to the do-it-yourself website at a fraction of what the competitors offer? Check out 1&1ionos.com. They offer website hosting starting for as little as $5 a month, and that includes 5 email addresses. Do you already have a website but you're tired of the prices and the hidden fees your host charges? 1&1 Ionos provides web hosting with porting of your existing account, 10 free email addresses, and much more, starting at $4 a month. This is just a small sampling of their services. Send me an email at info@transcendthenome.com or go yourself to 1&1ionos.com and get started today. You won't regret it. People remembering that the cotton gin inventor Eli Whitney was black is not only not an isolated incident, but a factual event. Let me explain it this way. It was even bolstered by the comment that the machine he invented to lift his people out of oppression, in fact, strengthened the dependence on slave labor, according to slave owners. The error, not Mandela effect, the error may be attributed to the fact that the inventor was indeed black, and the patent was indeed Eli Whitney's. How does that happen? But the inventor and the patent holder are not the same man. The inventor was a slave whose son Sam, yeah, I noticed it, the son of Sam and the son of Sam. Anyway, the inventor, whose son's name was Sam, brought the idea to Eli Whitney's attention, because at the time a black man couldn't hold a patent. So, again, let me reiterate this. If you ever heard that the inventor of the cotton gin was black, it's true. If you ever heard that the patent holder for the cotton gin was Eli Whitney, that's true. Combining the two is where the falsity lies. That doesn't mean you went anywhere. Sex and the City, like others I'll mention here, was a Mandela effect that was quickly debunked when videos and images of marketed items such as handbags showed the incorrect title Sex and the City. Even so, even if that didn't exist in reality, yeah, our reality in normal speech in and end can sound similar enough to throw the average person who may not watch the show, who may never have watched the show, off. Sex in the City. I just said Sex in the City. But again, this is nothing. Then there's Febreze. And by the way, this one falls directly at my door. I owned bottles of the 2E Febreze. And no, I owned bottles of the 2E Febreze. And remember distinctly when the labeling changed. If I had to guess it was roughly 10 to 15 years ago. But I may be off on that. No dimensional transaction took place. The company states that the product was originally marketed as Febreze with an A and two E's because the name is a compound or conjunction of the two independent words, fabric and breeze. If you type it with the old spelling, you are automatically diverted to several sites that contain both spellings for this reason. The company further reduced the spelling to only one E, which rather defies the laws of American English and should be pronounced Febreze, not Febreze. Is Smokey Bear or the Bear? Really? Those that push this one behave as if it's part of the cartoon character's legitimate last name. I mean, is Smokey a coyote or a platypus? No, he's Smokey the Bear. Is Bear a legitimate last name, and therefore adding a the alters their identification cards utilized for airports and security reasons or purchases? No. Well, then it appears that old Smokey... Oh, wait. You see, I just did it without thinking. I just used a normal, acceptable device, literary device, to describe a cartoon character when that cartoon character is nowhere in view. You know, Smokey the Bear? Smokey the Bear. Smokey Bear. Not a Mandela effect. The Mandela effect, I postulate, you may disagree with me, but I postulate the Mandela effect doesn't exist. Others, more along the lines of disparate grasping, include whether the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster occurred in 84, 85, rather than 86. That's just normal. That's just normal. I'm skipping over it completely. The Lindbergh baby, another one. Many people state that the case went cold and that the kidnapper was never caught. Well, considering how many questions remain unanswered about the horrific case, this is one of the least surprising responses. Any variety of documentaries or YouTube videos may have left enough of a doubt in the minds of viewers for them to discard the evidence against Bruno Richard Hauptmann and claim that the case went cold, that the real murderer, the real kidnapper, got away. Even something as simple as reading Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express could leave you doubtful enough. So, that's nothing. The rock group Queen's song We Are the Champions is another commonly mentioned Mandela effect. There are concert versions that don't immediately end and can easily be interpreted as having him say of the world. It's not far-fetched to assert that Freddie Mercury may have added that ending during some performances, or that some guitar or bass or even drum roll may leave that impression or may have that effect when recorded. Doesn't mean that anybody transcended dimensions. I, however, propose that for that alone to assert that people have traveled to some alternate reality is more far-fetched than to assert that the singer improvised on some recordings and not on others, or that there was some other sound, again, bass or drum or whatever. So it's safe to say that you are neither nutty, batty, in need of questioning your entire existence, or the victim of a global dimension shift if you happen upon any of these different song versions. That's the randomness of life itself, of existence. It's happenstance more than dimensional occurrences. Then there's the one that, along with the reports of Mandela's death, is most attributed to the Mandela effect, the Berenstain Bears. On the after podcast post on the Transcend the Known website, you'll see links to images supporting the E-I-N spelling, as so many people correctly remember. One videotape actually has both spellings, with the front VCR tape label appearing to have been, many years previously, to have been pulled off and replaced in the upper right corner. This is, of course, the AIN label that was replaced. Several years ago, I heard that the spelling was changed from Berenstain, E-I-N, to Stain, A-I-N, because many people were referring to the cartoon characters as the Jewish bears, and the creators were worried about anti-Semitism affecting the readership and affecting the characters' relationships with their readers. They didn't want it to be a cultural, religion, or nationality thing. This, if true, is a shameful reason, but much more plausible than altered dimensions. The fact that they would change it to Berenstain and act as if the other one didn't exist simply to remove any anti-Semitic or any religious context to the cartoon characters. This may also be the reason behind the Oscar Mayer with an E confusion. The hot dogs are pronounced Meyer. We all say Oscar Mayer with the obvious I sound in the center, yet the label is spelled Mayer with an A and an A sound. M-A-Y-E-R is Mayer, not Meyer. Could fears of anti-Semitism be responsible for the label change, or a concept of maybe that they would be extra kosher or something like that if they were spelled M-E-Y-E-R? The odd spelling bee product jingle? Possibly. However, there's no denying it. M-A-Y-E-R is pronounced Mayer, not with an I. Now, for the real Nelson Mandela effect, for each and every one of these scenarios and dozens others not recounted here, but attributed to the hypothetical Mandela effect, there are much better explanations available. There is a high probability that reducing every normal occurrence in this way to being attributable to some dimension swap lessens to the point of ridiculousness more probable quantum mechanical events. You see, the real underlying question for which the Mandela effect, I believe, and this is, again, all of this is just what I think is a possible explanation. But I believe you're listening to this podcast because you like to think outside the box. You see, the real underlying question for which I believe the Mandela effect is attempting to be an answer to, or one of multiple potential answers, is whether we exist within a matrix. I personally believe that we do. As you've heard from other podcast episodes, I believe that the space around us and within us is comprised of ether units. And the second part of this very important question that I think the Mandela is trying to answer incorrectly is whether that matrix is controlled by otherworldly beings like archons or reptilians or what have you. And for that, I would have to say I don't think it is. But then I believe in ultimate autonomy, so I may be biased in that. So that doesn't necessarily make me right or wrong on either count. Life and time itself, I love that, but life and time itself may prove me wrong on either or both. But that is the question that I believe is behind the basis for the Mandela effect, if you will. If phrased properly, it has nothing at all to do with Dr. Mandela, your candy bar, where the people are having sex in, on top of the city, doesn't make any difference. The question is, what is this otherness that I feel all around me almost all the time? The question is, why are there so many minor, but just enough to be noticeable and highly disconcerting discrepancies in everyday life? Those discrepancies commonly referred to in the movie The Matrix as like the cat going in and out of the room repeatedly. Just enough to be noticeable, but not enough to potentially disrupt my life. Just enough to get my attention. What is that otherness that we are constantly focusing on in this podcast and on the website? Those discrepancies that should, by all practical accounts, be inconsequential and go unnoticed, but are in fact just obvious enough to make you question everything you know about you and around you if you let it. Like that awkward and sometimes highly distracting shadow in your peripheral view. It stops you and makes you refocus all your attention until you're able to explain it to yourself, the peripheral effect. But that refocusing lingers. That shadow remains. That otherness, that alienation, that feeling of something unexplained or hidden from us remains. That right-brained otherness. But will not, I think, ever be answered by things like the Mandela effect. I think that that's just a quickie distraction that makes it much worse, actually. It makes you feel much more disconnected from the reality you're existing in. If you think that simply the changing of a spelling of a word alters your entire existence, it's just simply a distraction from the existence you're in. And it's also a distraction from the real question. What is it that I sense? It won't be found in the Mandela effect. It won't be found in a cartoon's last name. There's only one place where we can begin to find that answer. So until we meet again, remember to allow your imagination the freedom it needs while keeping your feet firmly entrenched in terra firma. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Transcend the Known. Till we meet again, take care and remember every day in every way to question the known world.